All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, are you familiar with an establishment called The Bookery?
No.
The Bookery is a chain, or was a chain, I believe, of Christian gift stores. Yeah. It was the best place.
Christian or Christian Science? Sometimes those are Christian Science.
I didn't see anything that told you not to take aspirin. So okay. I imagine it's just Christian. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Fun fact.
It's hard to tell.
Those e-readers, the Kobos, Kobo e-readers, started out being associated with the Bookery. Really Christian company. Yeah.
You know what? With all due respect, that fax wasn't that fun.
Oh. That's fine. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all right.
So we're breaking in here at dead of night because one of my favorite phenomenon in the Christian world is novelty Bibles.
Okay.
Okay. You got your stuff.
Like snakes in it or like what? Like yeah,
It's got just the one snake.
Six a snake.
But you know, you've got your extreme teen Bible, you've got your manga Bible, and then just a bunch just a bunch of licensed ones, you know, to make the good news a little bit more palatable for kids. You know, you ever want to see the trick cereal rabbit crucify?
Yeah.
Here you go. Yeah.
And yes, I have.
Yeah. I'm just going to run my hand along the shelf here and see which one I pick up. I'm not looking at it, but we're just going to grab that and we're going to see if we do a game based on it. Okay. Yeah. Like so idea. Here we go. Just flipping through. It's a Flintstones Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. But to have a Deuteronomy.
I like that as a mind meld because that is exactly where I was going.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yay. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with Deuteronomy these days. I think it's called Deuteronomy maxing and your kids are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you hear your kid begatting, they're Deuteronomy Max. It's the book of the Bible where Jesus heard his Deutimer.
Yeah,
you know what I was doing there. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, Dopamine, I Hardly Know Amine.
And this week is a Gary pick. We're talking about Flintstones, Burger Time in Bedrock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is it's a little bit slight, you know, and we have talked about the Flintstones before.
We have.
The two things that made me pop this on is one. I like the title of this a lot. I was like, this is just,
it's got
there's really nothing more to that. I'm like Burger Time in Bedrock. Like that sound like I say dreadful euphemism a lot. That sounds like a delightful euphemism.
You get one of those dino burgers. Burger Time in Bedrock also has a little bit of the same cadence as Toilet Time for Tiny Town.
It has very similar cadence to Toilet Time for Tiny Town, which I love.
Yeah.
Second, I love Burger Time.
You do.
And there's no real way to get Burger Time on the show. We'll do an arcade special at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll probably find a Burger Time cabinet, but Burger Time is too slight for any of our shows.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk about Burger Time because Burger Time is sick.
Yeah. I'm not as big of a Burger Time head as you are. I find it a little bit slow and frustrating.
Okay. Speak on that.
Oh, that's
defend yourself.
That's pretty much it. It just it's slow and kind of clunky, and it's hard to hit the enemies that you think you're gonna hit with your little dash of salt.
This Burger Time is super slow.
Yeah,
like this is a Burger Time variant based on the Flintstones with more power ups.
Yeah,
through this, which one of which makes you move at a speed that anyone could ever move. Like you one makes you move at the slowest walking speed possible. If you get powered up, otherwise you move even slower than that.
One of the power-ups is just Tai Chi.
Like power walking.
Yeah. This is a, this is a variant on, Burger Time Deluxe, is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for some reason, again, the other thing I thought was interesting about this was this branded with the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. This is a Game Boy Color game.
Yeah. Came out in 2000. This shouldn't be a game that came out with it. Yeah. No, not in a year that begins with a two.
Yeah. Huge overlap. Kids love the Flintstones. It's mostly about a working class guy. He lives in caveman times. Does caveman times things happen? No. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
He works a job he doesn't like. He's a fat schlub. He works a job he doesn't like. He has an idiot friend and he has a hot wife.
Yeah.
That's it. And you mean, does he do like caveman stuff? Does he fight dinosaurs? No. Dinosaurs are mostly ground or machines to him, but he does interface with an alien.
He does. We do have like, the Great Gazoo. The Great Gazoo was a late entry, though.
But a major enemy in this video game.
Yeah.
Bake the Great Gazoo into sandwiches a lot, which is another thing I liked about this, because I was looking at that as cruising that tag. And this.
The Great Gazoo was voiced by Harvey Korman. Weird.
Oh. Yeah. Weird.
Weird. Anyway, yeah, we could talk about the Great Gazoo. The FDA has a federally mandated maximum on how much gazoo you can get into a
You're only supposed to have so much Sprite.
Yeah.
The and Sprite, not the soda, but Sprite, the little creature.
Yes.
Like the amount of Batmite and Mr. McPicklick you can have is a little bit less than the Great Gazoo.
Because of the evil, you see. Gazoo's just annoying.
He seems really annoying, and I don't know. I want to know why he's there, but I would rather die than watch an episode of the Flintstones.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know.
Introduced in season 6, the Great Gazoo, or simply Gazoo, is an alien from the planet Zetox, apparently exiled across time and space to prehistoric Earth due to his invention of a device that could potentially destroy the universe. So he is a nascent war criminal.
I just don't know why he would choose to hang out with Fred Flintstone.
I don't think he has a choice in the matter.
Why?
He doesn't seem to like.
No. And Fred hates him.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, like Fred, I remember watching this cartoon and Fred's reaction to having an alien imp that follows him around and watches him piss was just like, it's a living, which is the only reaction anything has to anything in that show. that was comedy to us.
Yeah, the Flintstones is a universe struck with just a deep ennui.
The Lockhorns virus like just infected the entire human populace.
It's oops all Bartleby the Scriveners. Oops all Barts.
Barneyby. But just like, I guess. And then Will, you know, this is sitcom shit that I don't think kids are into. Like, I remember even being a kid and being like, and this wasn't me being woke child, you know, but just being like, why is he so mad at Wilma? Like, all Wilma does is be hot and smile and say things like, Fred, would you mind grabbing this from the store? Mm-hmm. And all he's like, I wish I could go bowling with my Bedrock buddies.
I wish I could go hang out.
Burgers.
Wish I could go hang out at the Water Buffalo Lodge. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like get drunk with a bunch of grumpy old shits.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I think that there was a certain, there was a certain time, certain kind of kid who was just real Gleason build. You know?
Yes.
Just storming around the house, throwing things, screaming, Gleason, Gleason. You know?
Gleason. It is a thing. When I was young, did you watch Married with Children?
Yes.
I did too. Why? I don't know. Why was that like a kid's show that like I watched?
It certainly wasn't a kid's show. My grandparents would not let us watch it. But my brother, so I watched it because my brother was a fan of it. Mm. My brother, who is 5 years older than me. So I was just around absorbing the early 90s, late 80s raunchiness of that by osmosis.
Yeah. It was on at an attractive time slot.
Mm.
I remember that. But just this idea of like, I hate my job and my hot wife is such a nag as like a thing to appeal to kids is so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, and you know, you're going to tell me your wife isn't, you know, just come on.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every woman's a treasure, but for fuck's sake.
Well, yeah. this podcast is a safe space for ladies. You know, women, we've made this elevator safe. But like just this idea of why he hates his family so much.
Yeah.
I understand him hating working at the shoe store, even though that was a little bit, you know, behind the times in terms of him just like, oh, I had to spend all day with women's feet.
Yeah.
Because the internet would go nuts with that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can understand it. It doesn't seem like a great job to me. Like mm-hmm. not grosser than a regular shoe store,
mm-hmm.
but also just, I don't want to work at a shoe store.
Yeah.
But like, what did Al Bundy want? What does Fred Flintstone want? Like, I know what he's running from, but what is he running to? You know,
I think that Fred Flintstone is defined by his aversions.
Yeah.
I think that
sad existence.
If you take away his repulsions, you find nothing left. Fred Flintstone is nothing but a moving void in the universe.
Yes. Like the classical conservative who is defined entirely by fear and what he does not like.
Yeah.
You know, and if I asked Fred, I was like, if it wasn't for, you know, your wife and your kids and your job and all these things you hate, what would you do? And it's literally just drink with old men.
Yes.
Like, this is no kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Flintstone was dead when the series started. And the Great Gazoo should have been a big hint, you know, and the preternaturally strong Bam Bam.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me started on Bam Bam. Come on.
The barbarian king that walks the earth. Reborn.
No, one day he will conquer us all.
Yeah. Like Bam Bam is terrifying.
Yeah.
Little buff baby who can dance like a man.
Good Lord.
But I think Burger Time. So Burger Time, like a maze chase game,
mm-hmm.
basically. I think that the like a maze chase game almost mixed with like Dig Dug.
Little bit.
I think that the concern of like timing where the enemies are
mm-hmm.
for when you walk, and building gigantic burgers with your feet.
Oh yeah.
With all of your enemies, like if they end up within the burger, they end up with the burger. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that adds a certain kind of weirdness that makes Burger Time very appealing.
Oh, the theming is immaculate, and Burger yes. Time, you know, was ahead of the curve in terms of introducing the fried egg as a burger topping.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they were at least 25 years ahead of that, ahead of when I, you know, saw that and started doing it.
Yeah. When it started becoming a real big thing.
Yeah. 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 But I like it. You know, you're fighting enemies with pepper, and you're tricking them. You're learning their behaviors to kind of, you know, try to juke them into, you know, and being smushed.
It's worth noting that in Burger Time, I always got the impression because of the, you know, the size of the pepper shaker,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the size of the enemies that I was making normal size burgers and I was just very small.
Right.
Not the case in the Flintstones Burger Time in Bedrock.
Right.
Because we know how big Fred Flintstone is.
We do.
And we know how big like the Great Gazoo is and how big a gigantic mosquito is mm-hmm. and a dinosaur is. He is making gigantic burgers.
He's making burgers for the Nephilim who have not yet fled.
Nephilim Bergens. The Titan Kronos is hungry. It's up to Fred Flintstone to walk on his food
uh-huh.
and try to make sure there's some alien and mosquito in there that he's clubbed to death. Like, I don't know why it's a Burger Time. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's just a weird, you know, it's literally just because somebody got Brontosaurus burgers stuck in their head.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got very mad looking at the wiki on this. It's on the Flintstones wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of this is you're going to work and you're late. And when you get there, your boss at the construction job you have says, hey, I got another job for you. Walk on these giant burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird as it is for Bronto burgers.
Yes.
And when you click on Bronto burger, I was like, okay, the Flintstones is old and shitty,
mm-hmm.
but clearly, you know, they would have like a fake burger.
They've established a brand. Yes.
Yeah, like Bronto Burger. But when you click on Bronto Burger, it brings you the fucking Flintstones wiki thing for Brontosaurus.
You assholes.
And that makes me very upset.
You assholes. Like, come on.
It's also not where I want to get my information on Brontosauruses.
Yeah, there are plenty. You know, I prefer to get that from picture books that I read as a kid. You know,
exactly. Ranger Steve helps me with that.
I want those just ubiquitous white covered books that is just pictures of a thing with labels pointing to parts of the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Never figured out what those were called, but they had them for fucking everything. There was one for the Death Star. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I like having visuals identified by words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm a simple man.
Yeah. I want to understand things, please.
Yeah. Very frustrating that this wasn't burger related. Who these burgers are for, I don't know.
I'm doing a search for Brontosaurus burger, and it's taking me to a lot of, like recipe sites, but also there appears to be a database of just different burgers there are. Called Burger Base, since 1990. It is burgers, but because this is an endeavor started by the wine company, by the vintner Sutterholm, it is which burgers go well with which varietal of wine. Classy Bob's Brontosaurus burger pairs well with the Sutterholm Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay. I see. I was hoping this was just the burger wiki.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Like, is there a burger wiki?
Turns out it's actually just a pretty good repository of burger recipe. French onion soup burger. Oh, there's some of these out.
Nothing wrong with that.
I would probably make. No. Yeah.
For some reason, YouTube seems to think that I want to watch The Founder, the movie about Ray Kroc with Michael Keaton. It's constantly serving me clips from The Founder.
Weird.
That, I don't know why.
That is like, that is the perfect movie to exist in the, at the bottom of the middle third of my, I want to watch that list. Right?
Yeah, it's just squeaking out, not quite being a popcorn classic.
Yeah.
You know, like if that was on TV, I'd be like, I don't know. Okay, it's real star studded. Like
Michael Offerman's
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Michael Keaton's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Michael Keaton is legitimately a good actor.
Yeah.
And Ray Kroc is probably an interesting maniac.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not that interested in the origin of McDonald's.
No.
That isn't, derogatory, I guess. I want that to be muckraking.
Yeah. I don't believe this is a very well regarded movie. Back in the day, there's a movie called Scotland, Pennsylvania that has Christopher Walken in it that takes like all of the treachery around, the founding of McDonald's and, adapts it, uses that as kind of a basis for a Macbeth adaptation.
Fascinating.
So, yeah. You get to see somebody killed by having their head held down in a fryer. It's got like a 6-something on IMDb. It just sticks out to me because there was a certain point where I was just seeking out different walking things to watch.
Sure. You get Andy Dick and Kevin Corrigan as well.
Oh yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
And Andy Dick as a not named person, which is a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Early on, uncredited.
Yeah.
This is not related to burger, but I had an interesting food experience recently.
You did.
Have you ever had hot pot?
Not by that name. No, no.
Not by that name, what do you think? I mean,
I think you're referring to some kind of noodle dish. What I'm saying is when I have made, noodles and stuff, maybe I have accidentally done that and not realized it.
You have not.
I have not. Okay.
No. It is a restaurant concept. Of kind. So the origin, I've mentioned this a couple times on various shows, it's leaked through, but me and Liv, we watch a show, we eat dinner, and then I'll throw on a YouTube, and I had to find YouTubes that, I'm finding YouTubes that we both like.
Okay.
We've been moving through this guy named Dancing Bacons.
Okay.
Put a pin on the name because it sounds very irritating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an ESL element. This is a gentleman who lives in Singapore. And his girlfriend, and they go and review like weird food vending machines and food experiences.
Cool.
In Asia. And it's interesting,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, this is, the Kirby Cafe, You know, I ordered everything in the Kirby Cafe in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see that. You know, just a, you know, curiosity, empty calories.
Yeah.
We got through all the really fascinating ones that we saw, like vending machines and the weird themed theme parks and stuff. And these are really charming. The man and his girlfriend, I'm not shaming anybody for eating, you eat whatever you want. He does in any given sitting, eat conservatively 10 lunches. I've watched this guy eat eight back-to-back meals out of a vending machine. And you start realizing, like, good God, is this man putting it away? And it makes it real weird.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens is he shows a reaction shot from his girlfriend every time, and she likes everything, and she has the same reaction every time, and it's so fucking delightful. It's really good.
What's the reaction? Does she say anything, or is it just a face? Nope. Yeah.
It's a really good smile.
Okay.
It's just a very charming, like, oh yeah, like this rocks.
Yeah.
And so we ran out of the normal stuff we watched with them, and they're just like, hot pot. And I was like, oh yeah, hot pot. I'd had hot pot before, but I wanted to see what it was like authentically. Mm-hmm. And we watched them eat it and made us go to one. Long way of saying, I want to mention that YouTube channel, but long way of saying we went to go to it. No. Hot pot is, they give you a boiling cauldron of broth in front of you. And then you are given ingredients to cook in the broth at the table, including tons of raw meat.
Okay.
They give you all these thin sliced raw beef and lamb and stuff that cook incredibly fast in this boiling broth. So you cook every bit of your meal as you're eating.
Okay.
Through it. So you get vegetables, you get like greens, you get tofu stuff, you get noodles, things like that. But you do it all there. You kind of have to, like, you know, I think this is done.
You know, okay, cool.
And then go for it. Yeah,
that sounds great.
It's interesting.
I like any of those, just like activity foods, you know, it's
very activity food.
Yeah. One of the main appeals of pho to me, you know, cause you get the broth, and then you get like a kit of things that you can put into it. Yeah.
You get a little customizable kit. This is like that, except you cook it. We should, if that sounds interesting to you, we should find some hot pot Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You can try it. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Everything does start to taste the same because it's all cooked in the same broth.
Right.
Like, you get a sauce, but at a certain point, like a mushroom and a piece of tofu cooked in the same flavor base tastes pretty similar.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It is a fun, novel way to eat and to have a gigantic tray of a sliced raw meats put in front of you.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. It's neat.
Yeah. So
there's a couple places in Portland, including a chain one that's popped up called the Rockin' Crab, which I haven't been to yet because I don't like seafood very much. But we went to a very authentic one.
Nice.
And it's quite good.
Yeah.
Even though they do give you chicken, which I think is a little bit weird. I don't want to boil chicken until I can guess that it's correct. You know, something that you don't want to eat raw seems scary.
A little bit, yeah. I don't know. It just at what point is this a trichinosis factory?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And the food safety around the whole thing is a little bit weird because you were definitely grabbing raw meat with your chopsticks, putting them in, and then pulling them out.
Yes.
You know, and it's like including like raw chicken meatballs and stuff. And I'm like, well, that's still on my chopstick.
Yeah.
Like a lifetime of food safety has taught me this is scary.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I'm super paranoid about that when I'm, you know, making food at home, just constantly rinsing my spoons and my tongs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
With my high stakes, fast paced job, I can't afford to be laid low by food poisoning.
Yeah. Heaven forfend somebody on Duckfeed gets diarrhea. It will halt this entire operation.
Everything falls apart. The wheels are going to come off, buddy.
The wheels are going to come off. It's honestly, this entire venture is being held together by the corks inside our buttholes collectively. And if anyone were to ever pull that one string, the entire network would unravel.
Oh, the room would fill. You'd be clinging to ceiling fans, begging for help.
Any of our haters, if they want to just destroy the network, you just got to find that thread. It's like the Weezer sweater song, except it pulls a big cork out of Will Hughes' asshole and makes him take a gigantic diabetes shit all over the floor. And Gary's asshole and Cole's asshole.
Oh, yes. This is probably TMI, having a little bit of things are moving a little slow due to a medication change. So I've started reintroducing fiber supplements to my life.
Yeah.
You know, worthwhile thing. Don't know why I stopped.
Fun adventure. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I got, because this stuff gets weirdly expensive, actually. Like if you just want to get like psyllium husk pills, it's just costly. I ended up finding like combination prebiotic and dietary fiber gummies.
Okay. I've had such things.
Yes. Sure. And they're fine. But like it got me thinking, you know, basically doing a bad stand up bit in my head about why everything needs to be gummies and why that is the future that we had instead of having Flintstones chewable everything.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a gummy,
mm-hmm.
but I also love the Flintstones chewable.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have to be shaped like Flintstones for me.
Yeah.
You know, they could be shaped like something that, you know, like I don't know, King of Queens. I don't know what kids are into these days. Walter Matthau. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know, the Honeymooners, something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how you're going to get the kid market, but some kind of fat old guy with a hot wife.
just spin the wheel. Oh, I got Tim Allen. Yeah.
Fuck.
No. Yeah. One of the more delightful edibles I've had recently, because edibles are almost always gummies. It was basically like a lemon and hibiscus sweet tart with 5 milligrams of THC in it, which is like, you know, like two of those is just perfect.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's people make a dose on that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one or two of those is great for depending on what you're using it for. Mm-hmm. Like just it's great.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then I'll go online and I follow Bakun.
Yes.
Your famous Twitter user and good poster. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be like, hey, I just downed this and it'll be some kind of like 6,000 gram, not even milligram, like elephant THC cannon kind of thing. It's a fucking Bronto burger. Uh-huh. I did this and saw through time. Like,
well, yeah. What did you think was going to happen? Man? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's not complaining. He's just like, this is it for me. This is what I do. Like, fuck, man. That's wild.
Seems like it would get expensive. You got to take a tolerance break, you know, recalibrate.
Yeah. I do, you know, and when I don't, I suffer for it.
Yeah. Not to tell the same story twice, but that just reminds me of the last time I was in Portland for your wedding and I stopped and I thought I got, 100 milligrams, you know, just like 10 milligram gummies. And when I opened the package, it was just like one semi-spherical thing.
Where they give you the gigantic chew toy.
The
bad father starter kit of like suck on this.
Yep.
I'm gonna go play the ponies.
Yeah. And so like just trying to judge what my dose would be by taking a bite out of it and ending up needing to lie in bed with my foot on the ground to make sure I was still in reality.
Yeah. Those things are so funny. I love the idea that I could have a fun suicide by cop whenever I want to by just swallowing one of those whole. You know, like it's really good that we always have this way out.
Yeah, a squad has been dispatched
by
breaking the seal on this package.
Yeah, Weedly or whatever is delivering. Something that I forgot to mention real quick about this game before we wrap up here is the soundtrack for this goes harder than it has any need to.
Yeah.
This is by a guy named Alistair Brimble, who is a storied old soundtrack guy. Has been doing stuff, and there's a signature tone in this that Commodore 64 kind of trill that I knew from the Adventure Island Dizzy games, which this guy did the soundtrack for. Treasure Island Dizzy, things like that. And the soundtrack for this goes so fucking hard and good, despite it being a Burger Time based on the Flintstones.
This does have one of my favorite things in a licensed game soundtrack, which is for some reason they do not use the theme song, but they use a sound alike, you know,
it's like a weird arrangement of the theme song.
Yeah.
Like this very sexy jazzy version of the Meet the Flintstones song.
Yeah. No, when I heard this, I was like right away, oh, this is a Commodore 64 thing. I didn't realize that person also did the soundtrack for Roller Coaster Tycoon.
All of the remakes of it.
Yes.
For sure. I don't know if they did the original versions. But a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
So, and then just like miscellaneous things that are good. I know it does look like they did the old Roller Coaster Tycoon soundtracks. That's great. That's a great soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
The old XCOM.
Yeah.
Terror from the Deep soundtrack, which is good. A lot of good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Here, like this guy is a legend.
Mm-hmm. A lot of bad shit too. They did compose for Glover. So
yeah, well, a bad game, but not a bad song. Okay. I bet you I would not be surprised if the soundtrack for Glover mm-hmm. also bats above its weight class.
Yeah,
you know, Silver Surfer style.
Hmm.
Yeah, Ice Age Scrat's Nutty Adventure. I'm Scrat.
Hi, I'm Scrat. Welcome to my adventure.
I'm Scrat.
Oh, he did the soundtract for Rockstar Ate My Hamster, another Abject Suffering alum.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, this guy rocks.
Hmm.
Yeah. Very, very storied. And a lot of times just like shitty license stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hop the Movie. You know? Woof.
Yeah.
A DS version of Track and Field. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Like just smashing your screen
just
by trying to jog using a stylus.
The game guaranteed to destroy to invalidate your warranty.
Oh, man. I didn't realize there is a Nintendo DS game based on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. That's an Abject Suffering emergency at some point.
Okay.
Fuck. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I did not. Is that like there's a celeb? I only know it because Nigel Farage went on it recently.
Okay.
But is that the concept where like it's a reality show and the celebrity is the one person among a bunch of randos or what?
It's like celebrities, a bunch of former celebrities are in a jungle environment. It's kind of like Survivor.
Okay.
But with people who are not suited to survival.
Right.
And gentler because we can't have the guy who played Carlton die.
Okay. So there is.
The schools would be out and we can't afford it.
The kids you know? Have to learn.
It's like that.
The kids need to learn. Yeah. Okay. Was there an American version? I only know about it. Yes. That Isaac Farage thing. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a United States version of it.
Yeah.
Also called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Huh.
Did not run for very long.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Two seasons, one in 2003 and one in 2009. two non-consecutive seasons.
I love that. Just poking your head back out to see, are you ready for me yet? No.
I remember this when this popped up because Robin Leach was on it.
Robin Leach.
If you remember Robin Leach of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh, God. Yeah, that voice. There we go. He was still alive at that point?
Yeah.
Huh.
In the early one.
Okay.
He got exiled immediately.
Was he always doing the voice?
No, not exactly, but not exactly, if I recall. So, and then season two had Lou Diamond Phillips. A lot of popcorn classics. Who I appreciate here.
Yeah.
Stephen Baldwin. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you. If you like the show, you can support us on patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Get bonus episodes of this show, whole bonus shows, bonus content, bonus everything.
Mm-hmm. If you like bonus, you will like that Patreon. The other thing you can do is leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, or wherever you get podcasts. You can tell your friends, spread the word, post about us, and join us in thanking Gwen Static, our producer.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. And I think that is about it.
Yeah. And
what should they do?
Well,
next time.
Since you've been good, let's start recess 10 minutes early. You've earned it today.
Aw.